All right, well, it's another episode of Talking Real with Real Teams. And today we're going to just deep dive into what it takes to be a successful real estate team. And today I'm talking with Jason Raphael with the, what's your name of your guys' team?
Oh, the Bowling Group.
The Bowling Group. So, and so we're just going to kind of deep dive into, you know, whatever it takes to be successful, what gets you excited, what gets you out of bed in the morning, and get you fired up. And then we'll just kind of talk a little bit about your origin story and how you guys got started with Real. So whoever wants to take that one, go ahead.
Well, thanks, man, for having us, for sure. We absolutely love being here with Real. I've been doing this for about 7 years now, been with a couple different brokerages, and was introduced to the platform, very similar platform that we had previously, and the numbers just absolutely made sense. The tech that was becoming and that was already there was something that, you know, definitely was intriguing to us. And the collaboration with agents was huge. Previously, other brokerages, it's kind of difficult to get that, you know, what made you successful type thing. I feel like we've got something pretty special here. So, Raphael, I'll let you take it over and kind of go from there.
Well, I joined Real. I've been an agent for almost 3 years now. Whenever I got my license, I had a conversation with one real agent, Franklin Torres. He told me, look, this is the next big thing. You know, there's so much culture, collaboration. This is their motto, work hard, be kind. And I said, yeah, let's go for it. And I joined Real right when I got my real estate license. And I've been doing this for almost 3 years now. And I think Real, the platform, the agents, I want to say more the collaboration of the agents in Real, it's what keeps driving more people into our brokerage. I definitely love it. Like right now, I was just in a meeting with a real agent. She just joined about 3 months ago. She's not even in my downline. I know her because she lives close to my house. We got together in a real meetup, and she had a lot of questions about lease agreements, all that stuff. I just thought, look, come to the office. And I said, no, I'll pay you $50 for a time. No, you don't have to pay me anything. I'll teach you. I'll give you all my knowledge, because this is what we're all about, you know, just leaving no agent behind, like Jake said.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just huge in any culture. But what is amazing is that Real has really done a really good job of being able to create collaboration and doesn't feel like you're, you know, inconveniencing someone by asking a question, and really have done a really good job seamlessly through, you know, workplace and providing a really, I feel like it's a very organized workplace chat. I've seen other workplace chats and it's a hot mess. And so this one has been, they've done a really good job of constantly revamping and reorganizing it so that it's really easy to find information. For especially with being a new agent, for sure. All right, so let's talk about the origin story of how the team came about.
Yeah, so previous brokerage was with them for about 4 years. I was with the team previously. They were very successful in the Houston area, top 10 team in Houston. So I learned everything I could, wrote everything down. I've got Google Drive just filled full of documents of, you know, PDFs of how to write an offer, how to do this, how to do that, right? And so took notes and decided that I was going to do my own team. I was going to stay with the previous brokerage, got shown the opportunity of Real, and it was something I couldn't pass up. Again, the tech, the platform, the amount of money that an agent is going to keep. And so I figured that it was a great place to start a team. Never done it before, had absolutely no idea except for what I had seen with my previous team. Obviously they were super, super successful. Still talk to those guys, shout out. They've helped me out along the way. Excuse me, can't talk today. And so anyways, I joined Real, and you know, Raphael had mentioned Franklin Torres, super great guy, big attractor. He's the nicest guy in the world, and said, hey, I've got a new agent that's in the Houston area. Excuse me, would you kind of show him the ropes of the MLS, you know, Sky Slope, things like that? And I said, sure, you know, of course, I'd love to meet him. He said, this guy's super intelligent, you know, Raphael has been a dentist for years and traveled the world doing oral surgeries. And you know, said, you got to meet this guy. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let's meet him. So we get together. We found out that we have a lot in common, even though we come from two completely different backgrounds. I was a mechanic for years previous before getting into real estate. He's a, you know, an oral surgeon. So go figure, how do we get linked up? Right. So we get linked up and, we're going through everything. I'm showing him, you know, kind of what I was taught and, the MLS and the systems that Real had while trying to learn new systems. And he said, you know, instead of us just doing this, why don't we just start a team? Now I knew that I wanted to do a team eventually, but it, we kind of just fell into place and we decided to run with it. So, you know, we made an outline of what we wanted to do with it. And the number one thing that we both had in common was, and obviously Rafael is still learning all this right now. He's a very smart guy. So he picks things up pretty quick. But one of the things that we both had in common was, is we really just wanted to help people. And for me, it was like, you know, I've kind of not mastered, but I've gotten really good at helping people buy and sell homes and investment properties and land and, you know, rentals and all this other stuff. But I really want to kind of educate people and help agents grow their business because I had that, right? I had a mentor who actually cared and again, still talk to him quite frequently. And I wanted to reciprocate that and give that back to agents. And so I felt like our platform with our team that we had built for the outline of our team, and we're still constantly changing things, right? I mean, the market changes, the way things, way business is done changes. So you constantly have to be adjusting to that. But I think with our common goal was we wanted a place that we could put a team that not only could we help the agents grow, but other agents could help as well. And with our cultural award, we've got, you know, elite agents teaching agents how to be successful agents teaching agents how to be successful. And so we were basically just kind of giving more to that, to where, you know, these are the systems that we use. This is our processes and things like that, just to help grow. So we definitely rely on more of a one-on-one. And now Rafael, him being in the business for a while and being successful, I mean, his first year, you know, a six-figure agent, he's now stepped kind of into that role of helping other agents out, more of like the manager side, right? Like he's getting phone calls and he's helping agents, you know, with problems they've got. Now, of course, we've got some super great brokers in our state, but, you know, it's nice to have that for agents. So the team kind of just happened and we kind of ran with it and decided we're going to do this and we're going to do it the best that we can. So I guess that's, you know, answer for you.
All right. Yeah. So going back to the beginning, and this is always, you know, a fun conversation is, you know, how did you get your first few agents? You know, what was your, did you have a specific strategy? Were you just going out to like events or, you know, like how did people, you know, how did agents know about your team? And then, you know, what was your strategy there?
Sure. So previous brokerage, we would just call people up and say, hey, how's your business doing? Right. We don't really do that here. And I appreciate that. So it's a little bit different on how to get agents. Obviously we still talk to people about our team and we share that. I think when we joined Real, there was not very many agents in the Houston area. So when, you know, you talked about having that organized workplace has been awesome for us. We've gotten plenty of referrals from it. We've met new agents. We've collaborated with agents. We've done training with other agents. Like it's awesome. So workplace was kind of that deal. Like, okay, well, no one's in Houston. So if someone brought on an agent in Houston, they would go, who do we have in Houston? So we started taking on agents that weren't even necessarily in our revenue share group. We just started taking agents on who needed help. Our thing was trying to provide value to other agents. And not that we're looking for that in return, but it always comes back tenfold. It always does. And so, you know, we just wanted to grow the brokerage by itself. And that's what's great about this business model is that, you know, when one person wins, everyone wins, right? We're all part owners of the company, et cetera. But yeah, a lot of that was agents coming to be an agent in the Houston area and being referred to us by other agents. We're doing a little bit different stuff now. Well, we've been doing it since day one, but we repost a lot of Real's news, right? We talk about how it affects us and it's usually always positive. I mean, they've just been killing it with the changes and stuff that we've been doing. Building relationships with other agents, obviously, agents that we've done deals with that we follow on social media, We're constantly reaching out, sending them messages through just to see what's going on and really genuinely care, right? And I think that's the difference between getting that phone call going, hey, this is so-and-so with such and such office. Will you, you know, would you like to meet with them? Would you take a call? You got 5 minutes. That it's like, that's not really the way you want to do it. You know, you want to be the person to genuinely build that relationship, not have someone in your office call them. So that's something that we've done. Now we're starting to ramp up some in-person meetups. We're going to be doing some happy hours here in Houston and kind of grow that from there. But, you know, building out a YouTube channel, we've got that with some other agents, and now they're in, not now, but they are in other brokerages. And we have some videos on giving back from what has made us successful to anyone. And you can get on YouTube and check that out. So that's for the most part how we've been able to attract agents.
Awesome. And what's the name of your YouTube channel?
So it's No Agent Left Behind. We've been doing that for a while. We're changing some things, going some different directions, but it's just some free information for anybody out there.
Awesome. And so then what's your team splits?
So team splits, again, I'm looking at trying to help agents, right? I've been on teams and had to negotiate splits over the years. Of course, that's always open for discussion, but I wanted something that was just, you know, let's keep as much money in your pocket as possible and grow this thing. So for our splits, for any leads that are unscrubbed, basically a lead, we've got their contact information. They haven't spoken to anyone. They're not pre-qualified. Just a lead that we give one of our teams, team members, it's going to be a 75-25 split. Now, if it's a scrubbed lead that we've spoken to, we've got their search criteria. We know they're not working with an agent. We've got them with a lender or in the process of getting pre-approved. Then that's going to be a 50-50 split.
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty standard. And then just the general personal business, is that a different split too then, or?
Yeah. So, I mean, the agents are going to pay on every single deal that they do, because obviously there's a mentorship and I'm there for anybody who wants to call, and Rafael is as well. But something that we did that I've never had shown to me in the past was we did an internal cap with our team. So for personal deals, we have a $12,000 cap within our team. So, you know, you have the cap with the brokerage. Obviously, Real has been awesome and allowed for new agents or agents maybe that aren't doing as much production to do a half cap, so they can, you know, pay that cap off with Real pretty quick. And then we have the opportunity to be 100% within the team through a 12K cap.
Awesome. And then what are you guys using to track all that?
So we're using Chime. Yeah, okay. We went all in on Chime. I know other brokerages have been jumping on the bandwagon, but Real's had it for a while. Yeah. And one thing I actually learned that was pretty cool the other day is that, so we have an agreement with Chime from what I've heard, and the packages that we have with the AI, the unlimited calls, the texts, there's no other brokerage that can have that same package that we have. From what I've heard, you know, don't quote me on that, but from what I've heard from someone pretty high up, that that's something that we have. So we kind of have our own deal with Chime. When other brokerages may have an agreement with Chime, they don't have all the tools that we have.
Sure, they have to pay the retail price versus the group pricing.
Well, even if they do pay a group pricing, they're not going to get all the tools. They're not going to get the AI for free. They're not going to get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is a good opportunity to throw this out there, because if people are looking to join Real and they want to scale down, because this is one of the reasons why people or agents are looking at opportunities, because they want to cut costs, because, you know, there's the three pain points for every brokerage, right? It's recruiting, retention, and profitability. And so anytime you can automate or systematize those three pain points, I mean, these are great opportunities to maybe think about making a switch. So with that being said, can you disclose what you're paying?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're paying $40 a month per seat. Are you talking about Chime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, $40 a person per seat. And that gets them a virtual number, gets them AI, gets them pretty much everything. So, and we've built out our own smart plans that we share within the team. We don't try to use that, but basically what we looked at is, how can we semi-automate the stuff that agents don't want to do, right? I mean, picking up the phone, calling someone, of course, it's part of our business. If your phone's not ringing, you're not making money. But at the same token, when you're sitting there for 6 hours, cold calling or, you know, being on the phone, it gets kind of difficult and it gets pretty tough. So, you know, we wanted to something that would semi-automate. So if Chime is something that you've been looking into and you're trying to decide on a brokerage based off of Chime, that's a pretty good, you know, indication that we've got a relationship with Chime, and we have our own personalized support with them as well. So it's pretty neat to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, this is what's going on. And also, just to add to that, there is a Facebook group out there, Chime User Forum. It's pretty awesome. And if you've got something that just isn't working with Chime, Chime is super great about listening to its consumers' issues, right? So if you've got an issue or you want something changed, they change stuff all the time. It's great. We love it.
Awesome. And so with that, does the agent have to pick up their own seat, or does the team pick that up?
So what we've got is we have the agent pick up their own seat. The reason being for that is because, like, we definitely are going to take care of leads and some of their things, but it keeps them more engaged and it gives them some more responsibility on that. If they decide that they don't want to actually do the work, well, they're still paying for something. So it's like, you've got to want to make the best of what you're paying for. Right. I mean, I know for me, I can't stand it when I pay for something that the service I'm not getting.
Yeah.
Right? So
100%. And so with that, let's talk about leads for a little bit here. So what are you guys doing? Are you doing PPC, Facebook? What are you guys doing in regards to lead gen?
So we've been doing a couple different lead sources over the years. We pretty much are one of those people, or one of the teams, that we try everything until it doesn't work, right? So for me, you got to at least plug it in for 6 months. So it's something we've tried to stick with. And we've had email company campaigns that have run stuff for us in the past that didn't work and we got burned on. But a lot of the lead sources that we're using, we really, and I mentioned this before, I'm really big on trying to have one tool that we can constantly go back to all the time. Yeah. And Chime has built out their marketing side so awesome. It's crazy. And not only just the paid side, you can do some really neat stuff on the free side as well. So, you know, we use a lot of their campaigns to run our, you know, our listing ads. We do a lot of buyer things through them. And we've really enjoyed that to get some leads for us. But we have used a lot of outside lead sources as well. We've gone through a couple different companies like ZBuyer, MyPlus Leads. We've done some separate Facebook ad campaigns. We've just recently started to kind of get into that whole Google market as far as the advertising with pay-per-click and stuff like that. It's just been more expensive. And I think starting out, we tried to obviously go as budget friendly as we could. We've kind of grown from that now. We've done some expired lists, obviously some pay for leads as well. Set schedule, agentology. We've done some different things. Open houses is huge. One of the things that I've had pretty good success with in the past as well is doing squeeze pages, the free side of Chime, some squeeze pages on neighborhood pages. I'll let Rafael kind of take it over from there, because he's had some pretty dang good success with, you know, with Facebook pages and stuff like that on getting leads.
Yeah. So when I started, and just a little background, I moved into Houston directly. I studied in Dominican Republic, moving to Houston 2010, and then COVID happened, and obviously the rest is history. But I didn't know anybody. Well, the only thing I knew is a Puerto Rican kid just got here to Houston. All my family's either in Puerto Rico or Dallas. Like, I don't have any sphere. How do I start attracting people, letting them know that I'm an agent and, you know, I'm here to serve? And I want to say squeeze pages was the first thing that got me leads out of Facebook. So I joined every Puerto Rican group in the Houston area. Like, they got Puerto Rican groups for if you live in Baytown, if you live in Houston, if you live in Lake City. So I started joining everything, and I started commenting, you know, getting myself out there, people knowing that they post something about Puerto Rican food, I would just comment, oh, that looks good, I'll go try it out. And then I started posting every 2 days, a squeeze page of that specific area, houses on the market for less than X amount of money. And the good thing about Chime is I started seeing what people were looking at. So you can see how many people walk in, how many views they had. And I started doing a calculation to see the price point that area people would tend to look. So if I put Lake City and I put $200,000 from $300,000, I only had like 5 people go in. Next week, I'll put from maybe 150 to 200. And I've started to see what that specific city of like Puerto Ricans were looking at, what they like to look. So I started getting requests, people for more information. And then I just kept blasting those squeeze pages. And I want to say my first three closings came from those groups, people that reach out through the squeeze page. And they even told me, like, look, I use Zillow, but I like your website because I got an assistant there. I can ask questions directly to the assistant. And it was a funny story because our assistant in our website is called Lauren. I've had people tell me that, give me the address or email, because I'm going to send a gift card to Lauren because she helped me from the beginning.
That's the Chime AI bot, by the way.
That's awesome. It. Chime AI bot. And I told her, look, yeah, this is our email address. You know, technically, if you send something to her, we'll share it with the team. And I don't even know if that's ethical, but it was funny because the AI was just interacting like from the get-go with those person. And obviously I will take over the conversation as soon as I could. And the AI is awesome doing that, but definitely squeeze pages is something that helped me a lot. So I definitely, if you're using Chime or any CRM, I'll suggest you use that.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. The using your tools that you have at your disposal to the best of your abilities is always the best way to go. One of the challenges I think with newer agents is that they are very technically inept. And so, like, do you guys run your own trainings for your agents in terms of Chime? Do you do these postings on their behalf? Like, how are you helping your agents interact with the CRM?
Yeah, so Chime is definitely something that took a little bit of learning to get going. So when we first joined, I mean, I dove deep. I know Raphael did too. We spent about the first 3 months just not only understanding it does not take 3 months to learn, but we wanted to learn the ins and outs of it. We wanted to learn everything we could except for maybe coding on to do anything, everything. But you don't have to do that. Now, the really cool thing with Chime is on Chime's dashboard, when you log in, they've got the question mark, right? And there's a help center and a learning center. So the learning center has like some different kind of tools that will allow you to go through basically like a little mini course, right? So you learn that. And then obviously joining the user group, there's a ton of like gurus on there that will share information as well. And yes, we did some Chime introductory to, you know, how to arrange leads, how to put sources on them, how to put tags on them, how to change your pipeline of where they're at in the process, how to run campaigns, how to send text messages, like just the basic stuff that we needed for the most part. Doesn't take a whole lot to learn how to adjust your transactions. If you've got a transaction, we built out a checklist of, especially for newer agents, it seems to work pretty good. We built out a checklist, right? So in Texas, obviously every state is different with real estate, but we have our checklist from start to finish, right? So we speak to the lead, get them approved, go show them houses, get them under contract, negotiate the option period, any repairs. And through that, there's a checkbox for every single thing, right? Like delivering option money and earnest money. And so it gives a basis for what they need to do. So it's not, we tried to build that out, and we also built out like our own new agent, I don't want to say like Bible, but it's like, you know, what you need to do day in and day out, what you need to do with the CRM, what, like it's pretty in depth, and we're constantly adding to it, but that has helped us stay on top and get agents fast tracked. We have some docs on onboarding and things like that to get them going. But Chime is it, when you first start any CRM, it's pretty daunting, and it seems like, you know, God, here I go, I got to learn a new CRM. But Chime is fairly easy. You can really run it however you want to run it, if you want to get super technical with it, or you can kind of just plug and play and let it roll. I mean, it's awesome.
There's something I always tell clients, agents, whenever they join, like the agent that was here, she's scared, right? She's like, oh, I'm going to mess it up. Like, there's no way you're going to mess up Chime. Like, unless you break the code, there's no way you're going to mess up. Just create a lead, create yourself, start playing with it, get familiar, because it may seem overwhelming, but it's really not. Like, once you get the basics of how it works, then you start growing into it. I'm going to do this now, I'm going to do that. But definitely the CRM is something that you're not going to break it. Just start using it and the first thing to do is like squeeze pages. And going back to squeeze pages, it's super easy to do. You just need to start doing it. Like, you're not going to mess it up. If you create a squeeze page that's all messed up, you just delete it, create a new one. The system, if you use the MLS, I think the MLS is super outdated. Their interface, at least ours, is just super outdated. It's not simple. If you look at houses there, you find houses there, you're definitely going to be understand the CRM because it's way easier. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to just start deep diving on the CRM. And at least Real, they have the knowledge library. Has a bunch of like videos on simple stuff, like how to create landing pages, how to create a video, socials. Now they have the social studio, how to mess with the AI, all that stuff is out there. And definitely you're not going to break it. So you're spending 20, 40 bucks on it. Just start using it. Just start deep diving into it.
Yeah, exactly. So along those lines, getting agents to take action, I'm sure that one of the pain points with every team is, you know, you've got agents that just aren't taking action. So the question is what are you guys doing on a weekly, monthly, or quarterly basis in terms of building culture and accountability? Do you guys do like a weekly or daily huddles? Do you guys do any of these kinds of culture building activities?
Yeah, for sure. So weekly, we have our mandatory Monday team meetings. We always start positive, you know, try to get the week kicked off in the right direction. And then we go over, you know, any pain points that anyone has, what's going on in their business. We do have a tracking sheet that we do weekly for newer agents that are kind of getting ramped up. We have a daily accountability Excel spreadsheet that we will add them to on contacts, calls, you know, texts, how many people you reached out to that day to try to keep them accountable. For the year, we have a yearly goal setting like most people do. It's a little bit different than most goal settings. It's not just, hey, I want to do this. We break it down by how many people are in your sphere, how many calls we need to make per day to have X amount of transactions. Like, we really break that down. And so we have been revisiting like the goals on that, right? We're now getting back to doing it monthly, but weekly we do have an accountability sheet that we fill out, and we do that. Wednesdays we do a team training over, could be a script practice, or it could be you know, various different training things. Could be over time, could be over how to do a squeeze page, could be over how to do a market report video. We're pushing video more, obviously, video and tech in real estate, and the way that we perform our business has changed so drastically just since when I got into the industry. So we're a little behind on video, but we're catching up pretty quick. We're recording as much as we can. But as far as accountability, we've got two different get-togethers that we do weekly. Now we're pushing more to try to get more face-to-face involvement because we're so spread out around the city. Our goal is to try to cover the entire city of Houston to be able to help anyone that's coming to the area. And so accountability is definitely something that's been difficult. When we started our team, I had no idea how to do any of that, you know? So it's constantly learning, and you're constantly trying to change and see what's working. But we do have some things too, like, you know, 2 months, we're not having any sort of traction with an agent. We're going to sit down and talk with them. What's going on with your business? What are we not doing? What are we doing? The other thing, and I hate to just, I feel like a paid spokesperson for Chime here, but you know, I love the system. But with Chime, you know, we can see, so there's accountability on there. There's reporting. So it shows how many emails are going out, how many calls are going out, how many texts are going out, how many contacts are made. Like, there is a lot. Now, I know there's other programs that do that too. Sisu has been pretty great about that. I've heard some agents using that. We don't use it. We just try to stick strictly to Chime. But accountability is huge. People can say that they're going to do things all day long, but when we actually get, you know, put in front of a phone or, you know, to do those tasks, it's a lot harder. So we've been pretty good about accountability and always trying to get better at it.
Sure. So then in that 2 month conversation, you know, do you put people on probation, or do you, you know, like, do you have an expectation of production from your agents?
So when we first started, when you first joined the team, we have a 90-day probationary period, and it's kind of like, hey, within 90 days, we need to at least have a deal, but you need to kind of hand over what you've been doing and see what we've got going on. Obviously, that plays a big part on us, because if we've got them in Excel spreadsheet and they're calling X amount of calls and getting X amount of contacts, but they're not converting that into actually closed deals, then that's more than likely either a problem on us, or maybe it's the communication that the agent is doing. So we've really been pushing training on communication, because that's huge, and setting expectations and what comes next for the client, buyer, seller. But that's, I don't know. I guess that's.
Yeah, because I mean, typically, you know, in an accountability meeting, either one of two things is happening. Either, yes, they are doing it and they're doing a terrible job of conveying the message, right, or they're lying. So those,
yeah.
So those are your two options, right?
Yeah. So if we've got an agent that just is not performing, obviously when we got started, we were a little bit more relaxed about that, but we would try to always be on the constructive criticism, right? Like, always trying to be positive. Like, okay, we haven't had anything going on. What's going on here? Are you making your calls? Are you say you're making your calls and not doing them? Like, what's going on? But thankfully, we haven't really had to do that much. We did have two agents that left the team. One of them gave me like not an ultimatum, but was like, hey, I got to get a deal closed in like 3 months. I was like, yeah, no problem. We're going to do that. No problem. Right. Then like 6 days after they said that, they're like, hey, I got to go back to, you know, working a 9 to 5. And I'm like, whoa, okay. That wasn't what we had talked about. But, you know, and what's wild is we go back through those leads and there's deals there, right? People are communicating. So I think that they were
doing work.
They were put in a hard spot with family. And sure. And the family was growing. Another one, you know, we had some issues with that, and it got to that point where we're like, okay, now we got to sit down and talk about what's working and what's not working. And that agent took it upon themselves, which I'm kind of thankful for, but the agent took it upon themselves to say, look, I don't feel like I'm contributing like I should to the team, and I feel like I'm letting you guys down. At this point, I'm going to kind of step away. So, you know, we're pretty laid back on a lot of that. We've been getting more, you know, strict on that, but thankfully, we haven't really had too many of those conversations.
All right. Well, I've got a few more questions for you guys, and then we'll wrap it up here. So the next one is, if you were to take your production out of the team, would you be profitable?
Ooh, that's a good question. Definitely when we started, no. No way. When we started, you know, it was just Rafael and myself getting things started. And so we were... well, you know, I would say there was some profitability, but not like you would think. Now we're getting to that point where we are being profitable, but it took us, I mean, we've been a team for 2.5 years. It took us, you know, probably at least a year and a half, if not 2 years, to finally kind of get that rolling in the right direction. Now, yes, I think we would be profitable if to answer that question. Actually, I know we would be.
And then do you know what your conversion rate is on your leads?
Ooh, that's a good question. I should have the answer to that. I know that Chime, I could break it down, but I would say what we try to do is we try to put 4 different pillars of lead sources in front of the agent. An agent should have 4 pillars, right? And they should be able to come up at least 1, if not 2 of them, but we try to provide multiple different lead sources. So it varies. We have other lead, like we've got multiple lead sources. So to put it in a total, I would have to probably go back and look at that total. But as far as individually, I know like our Facebook leads, obviously they're a lot lower. They're going to be probably like 3 to 5%. It's going to be pretty low. More of the stuff that we've got coming back from Chime. Like yesterday, I just got a call saying, hey, I get market reports for you. Would you list my house for me? Like, don't even know the guy. So that would be obviously a lot higher percentage. But I don't know the exact percentage of all the lead sources together.
Gotcha. Yeah. These are always good metrics to have when you're tracking KPIs, because then, you know, like certain lead sources you can double down on, you know, and some lead sources you can just get rid of because they're just not converting. and then lastly, do you guys have any book recommendations that kind of have helped you kind of get to where you are in your career?
I've got one.
I even have it here.
I was about to say, I'm looking through my books over here.
Yes. I forgot the name. So, not real estate related. I read all the books from Jocko Willings, US okay. Navy SEAL. He's super popular on YouTube and Instagram. There was one specific book called Discipline Equals Freedom. So, that book essentially is just stop making excuses, you know, discipline will give you freedom. The number thing, the first thing that I grabbed, I think is the most important thing I grabbed from that book, was that I used to wake up late. And this business, I feel like if you wake up late, you're already behind, you know? Oh, yeah. So he says on his book, and don't quote me, I'm not 100% sure, but it's like, if you wake up every day before 5 a.m. for the rest of your life, you will probably add, like, I think it's like 5 years to your life. So if you put it in that perspective, just waking up 2 hours earlier than everyone else who wakes up at 7, most people wake up at 7 or 6:30, you're going to have more time to invest during the day to either be healthy, more productive, spend more time with your wife or kids. So just that specific thing just changed my life completely. I used to wake up at 7, 8 a.m., grab my cup of coffee, and then start at 9:30 my day. And once I switched that mentality, start waking up every day at 5 a.m. or even before that, I started like 4:30, 5 a.m. I saw that I had more time to do stuff and my day was more productive, real estate wise and personal life wise. I got to spend more time with my wife. Now I get to spend more time with my baby. And just that, switching that mentality of discipline. Discipline is really important in this business. If you wake up every day and you have a plan and you stick to it, you will get business in this.
Yeah.
You will get business. Things will start rolling. So that's one of the books. And there's other one that Jace recommended me. It's like something about, can I say a bad word?
No. Go for it.
It's called, I don't, it's
how to make shit happen.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Sean Whalen. Yeah. It's a great book. It breaks down your life into four categories and how to balance them all. So kind of back to what Rafael was saying about balance. I've got a couple. It's very easy in this industry, especially if you're picking up the phone calling over and over and over and you get, you know, F offs or lose my number or stop. And you're like, stop, this isn't even automated, you know? Right. So this one for my second year in the industry full time, I really got kind of through this funk and I think we all kind of get into there and it's like, am I doing the right thing? Should I go back to work for, you know, 8 to 5 or whatever? But this one by John Kim and you can't see it, but it's, I used to be a miserable F, and yeah. It talks about just being more positive in how to deal with the issues that you've got. The 7 levels of communication by Michael Mayer.
I'm familiar with that one. Yeah.
That one's pretty good. And then Joe Herrera, who I absolutely just adore, man. He's awesome. He's with Real. If you don't know him, go follow him on Instagram. He'll get you going for sure. But he referred me a book called Exactly What to Say by Phil Jones. And that's the book I'm currently reading right now. And it's awesome. It's very, very good. So those are my recommendations.
Yeah, most real estate books, we all know the Rich Dad Poor Dad. Those are really good. But I think the fact that if an agent is not producing and it's not successful in their business, I feel like it's more deep than just the process of real estate. It will, like I said, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller. Those are really famous. I read recently the one from Ryan Serhant, Sell It Like Serhant. It's really good. It will definitely help your business. But I feel like if it comes down, I always say like those book, like How to Make Shit Happen, the one that Jace mentioned, and like Discipline Equals Freedom. I think if you switch your mentality in your life, then you will be better at your business. But it comes down first to the building blocks of your mentality.
Yeah, the Simon Sinek book, you know, starts with why. You know, the challenge with most non-productivity in real estate is the fact that they tell themselves the lie that the work that they're going to put in is going to be non-productive before they even start putting the work in. And so therefore they self-sabotage their real estate businesses before they even get them started because they have the false sense that this is a regular job. Yep. And that you show up and somehow magically the real estate fairies will just drop deals in your lap and then you just suddenly have business. And that's just not the way it works in this real estate business, is that you got to figure out, okay, you know, it's all math. It's you put in the amount of effort equals the amount of results, which equals the amount of money you want to make. So you just add those things up and you're going to get the directed result based off of your efforts. But most people don't do the math. They just think that if I just do random things, random stuff will happen and randomly I'll get random money that comes from somewhere. And that's just not works, unfortunately.
There's a lot of shiny objects in this industry too.
Exactly. And that's probably the other thing too, is perfection equals, you know, productivity, which is no, it's effort equals productivity. It doesn't have to be perfect effort. Just do something. Do something for a specific stated amount of time and you're going to get results, you know? So, well, this has been great, guys. I appreciate all of your time today. Thanks for showing up. I wasn't expecting two guests in one show, but that's all right. That'll work. That we get twice as much good things out of this interview today. So thanks for being here. And so if people want to know what's going on in the Houston area and how they can get hooked up with you guys and learn how to be chime masters and generating leads coming out of everywhere, how can they get a hold of you guys?
So you can contact us via Facebook. You can go to our website, bolinrealtygroup.com. You can find us pretty much about anything. You know, Zoom does the great little job of putting our names down there. So yeah. You know, search for one of us and you can definitely get a hold of us.
Awesome. All right. Well, this will conclude another episode of Talking Real with Real Teams. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace. You made it to the end of this video. If you'd like to see more of what's going on our channel, you could watch that video, you could watch that video, or you could subscribe. Catch you next time. Peace.